the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gami Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi, tatiyampi, savaha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Those who are new to practice, that there are back jacks in the corner, so you're welcome to help yourself to one of those if you'd like to. What shall we talk about this morning? Right.
calling out the voices, for starters.
Okay.
So much in that. Wow. Big rush of the drama. Don't talk. Don't share. Certainly can't go first. That's selfish. And don't talk about me, ego.
That leaves not very many options.
Does not leave you many options.
Right.
This last week, or the last 3 or 4 days, I've been in a karma storm that I've never experienced in a monastery before. Most of the time, or all my previous experiences coming here has been really exciting. Really looking forward to it. Must have been a real small sub that was really looking forward to it. And this time, the resistance that came up coming to this training period was extremely overwhelming. And getting here is quite amazing. The thing is that...
Amazing that you actually got here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It threw up more stories and scenarios and excuses and rationalizations, justifications that I'd ever seen. And just in getting here was probably one of the greatest practice opportunities I've seen. To get here.
And then it just continued, it sounds like.
And then, yeah. Then it continued. And previous in the week, a group, someone shared about hidden in plain sight or hidden in plain view. Mm-hmm. And I never really had that experience until I've had these beliefs and stories that I never saw. And then ego gets called out on one of them because situation arises, and I communicate with the monastery, and the monastery says, wow, that's very fascinating, because it's my interpretation is it's just riddled with ego that I've never seen. Like, there's all these beliefs and assumptions, and we want to some explanation of it. And it was all in plain sight, but it was hidden. Ego had hidden from me, mm-hmm. and I never saw it. It was like below the radar, and it was just...
So there's enough of the content there that it was like sort of in your awareness,
right.
But the process that's going by in that is, you have no idea.
No idea. Like, mm-hmm. the content seems totally appropriate, totally fine. I'm going along with I believe guidelines, and I'm totally not. Because mm-hmm. ego has me in a process of not seeing it. And then I see it, and then it just sort of, the floodgates open. And it's like, oh my God, I have these other underlying beliefs and assumptions about these other things. And mm-hmm. and what it really reminded me of is when I'm back home, I have these conditioned behaviors that I've done for so long, and they've never been questioned. Mm-hmm. And I get to the monastery, and I hit an edge. And then the monastery questions that, that action.
Yeah, and you really get to see how much is kind of tied up in those things.
Yeah.
It's like, what I was seeing as you were saying that is, ego's in kind of a difficult place because it's got all of its well-being invested in, like there's one thing, like an assumption. Oh, well, this is an okay thing to do, or whatever it might be. And behind that is everything that it's doing, and it's counting on you never looking at that one little thing and questioning it. And so as long as you don't, then it's doing fine. But then if you do, and of course around here, those kind of things happen, where there's other people looking at it too, and,
right.
And we're sort of occasionally required to turn our attention to things that we are trying to avoid turning our attention to. And then suddenly everything that's behind that, that conditioning has got, it's like it's got a whole structure, like a building built behind that thing, behind this little facade, and then you take that away and then suddenly it's all there.
It's all there, and it was really a huge brass opportunity when ego got called out. It really huge backlash that I never experienced at the monastery. It was the whole I've been looking at the process of quitting practice. I'm not looking at quitting practice. That's fine. Quit practice. I'm not going to quit practice. But ego then put up all the forces of, well, you know, this just isn't working. Like, we've got to quit practice. I mean, because it felt emotionally so painful, and I realized there were some subs that were really suffering over it. And I've been doing the recording listening daily, and I could see that process of where it seemed, although how self-hate was still getting to these subs, and I don't know if they were so much, but there was a lot of emotional pain inside of it, and I just think it was just pure self-hate. Mm-hmm. And the emotional, physical sensations associated with that. And I just took those selves aside, and I just did some recording listening and some two chair exercises with them. And within about a day and a half, it abated quite immensely. But in that storm, I'd never seen, just specifically using the content of the monastery as a platform for self-hatred. I'd never seen that before.
You know what occurs to me as you're saying that? You're describing the resistance before you came and mm-hmm. everything's happening. I wonder if what's going on is you're ready to take it to the next level.
Yeah, I can see that. And it's funny you said that because there were some guidance appointments that I had on my recording listening from last year, and we were talking about kind of the process of how my practice has evolved, and said, well, just life will lead you. Life will lead you to whatever it's going to bring you, and that's what it feels like. It feels like I've hit a new level of practice that ego, it was just intolerable to the ego in that creation of that storm, but when it subsided, it just, all the practice was there. It was like Sherry's encouragements, you know, you can outlast ego, you can outlast conditioning, record and listen, just stay with it, even in the super bad times, put on the earphones and listen. Like, everything was there, and not at one point did I ever believe that I would ever trash the practice, even though the campaign was the greatest I'd ever experienced. There was never any part of me, I could actually step back and go, no. It didn't matter. Just it threw everything that I'd ever seen at me, things that I'd never saw before.
It seems like that's the one thing that that we're required to do, isn't it? It's just to not quit.
Yeah, just not quit. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And keep on, and that's a negative way of saying it. A positive way of saying it is, you know, keep on participating, keep on taking advantage of, you know, what's offered, keep on doing, you know, using the tools.
Yes.
But really, where all this whole thing is going and how it's going to get there and all that, I mean, we just really have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. And that was part of the guidance for me this week, was that, you know, ego had so much tied in of knowing, well, I know what's best for me, Todd, you know, the being, I know what's best for this, I'll make the decisions. And the monitor said, whoa, you know, we're not really going that way. That's just not the way we're going to go with this. You know, like, we're not going to put it in the hands of ego. And I didn't see it was in the hands of ego when I saw it. It was so startling. I was so taken aback by it because I felt my practice was fairly consistent and deep and you know, I felt I had quite a bit of practice behind me, but knowing that ego was so deeply entrenched was really quite shocking.
Yeah, well, there's an evolution that goes on, I think. I've noticed it myself, and I project it on other people that, you know, when we start practice, you know, I'm doing practice. and so I'm still in charge. And so a lot of times we don't run into that hard stuff right at the beginning because I think probably it's still there, but it just kind of goes right by because we can't see it. We're not ready for it. We don't have what we need in order to be able to work with it.
Yeah.
And then this is just my words for it, but I think the evolution over time is gradually giving over control of our lives and giving more and more of our lives over to life and allowing life to guide us and, you know, allowing, you know, people talk about going with the flow and all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. You know, allowing ourselves to be taken by life where life would like to take us, mm-hmm. instead of us being in charge of life, trying to steer it in a way that keeps ego safe and all that. And so, you know, there's like a gradient, I think. And so we go along and things, you know, we're still kind of in charge of practice, we're still in charge of our lives. But for anybody who's willing, there comes to be that time where we have to really start letting that stuff go if we're going to continue to evolve in the way that life is, in the direction life is taking us. And it's really, really painful because we have to let go of the places the ego has fastened on as a way to stay in charge of us and stay in control of what's happening.
Yeah, it's really, really painful. It was really, really painful. But then a lot that just came up for me as you're talking about that is the trust. There's a lot of discussion about the trust and integrity, and that's the trust in the monastery, which is the bigger thing is the light. Mm-hmm. We don't let light guide us, which is guiding the monastery, which is guiding our practice, which is guiding the being. And mm-hmm. that was just a huge central point of the trust. And I saw that ego has no interest in that whatsoever. And
yeah.
Just as you laid out, it has no interest in me at all, the being, you know.
And that's a good thing because, you know, with that trust, then we can allow ourselves to go into those hard places.
Yes.
You know, and before that, we really can't because we don't, you know, how can we do that? Because it seems like there's nothing there that will take care of us.
Yeah.
But as we have that trust, then we can allow ourselves to go into it. And then, of course, you know, the bad news is that will happen. You know, more and more, those kind of things will run into those painful places.
Yeah.
But the heart looks at that and says, you know, gosh, I'm sorry, it's so painful,
right.
But this is a really good thing,
yeah.
You know, because it's not as painful as living a life where we never have any freedom at all,
right.
from the you know, manipulations of ego and all the suffering that comes with that.
Yeah, that is so true. Just before practice, the pain was always constant. It was just nowhere.
It's like we don't notice it because it's always there.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. When here, there's periods of no pain because we're in conscious compassionate awareness. We're just here,
mm-hmm.
and then to run into those edges is, as you said, a very kind of a evolution of the practice. That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience is the monastery. All my experience with the monastery is that I can trust. They do take care of me. They've always taken care of me. Mm-hmm. There is that trust that's been built from the day one, that from my very first retreat 5 years ago to now. And ego is never, you know, even. What doesn't want me to acknowledge that,
mm-hmm.
wants to, you know, mm-hmm. divide that trust, wants mm-hmm. to say that they're not to be trusted.
Yeah, because that trust cuts ego out of the picture.
Right, that's exactly it. Yeah, the trust cuts ego out of the picture, and that's what the process is helping mm-hmm. this week.
Yeah, and then it resists, it fights that, and
yes.
then that's the practice for a long time, isn't it?
Yes.
It's just continually running into all those places where it's still trying to hang on.
Yeah.
Nikki?
I felt like I really saw something that I've been looking at lately, and I've been having this experience of this kind of a, I don't know, just weird sort of tensions in my body or sensations that are not painful, but they're just very unusual. And what I've finally been looking at is that a whole lot of new energy is available, but that someone still doesn't want it. Someone's still got the brakes on.
We know who that someone is.
Yeah, we do. And that's what I'm experiencing is the kind of that tension between this rising energy and the one ego who says, no.
Mm-hmm. So another way of saying that would be between like the habit mm-hmm. and the possibility that's
I
there.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just had this, I don't know, when Todd was talking, I just had this image of being in a place where, like, for the last period of time, sort of like everything in me consciously has been saying yes and really committing myself to things that my heart wants.
Mm-hmm.
And that at the same time, I just had this image of, like, you know, the disc brakes on a car that, you know, that there's something in there that's just... Mm-hmm.
They're stuck and they're rubbing.
Yeah, it's just like got the foot on that brake pedal so hard that it's just screeching, you know, because the experience, you know, I think there's somebody in my mind who says, well, if I'm so committed and so practicing and so saying yes, I ought to feel great.
Mm-hmm. And I don't. That's the way that it goes.
I feel worse than I've ever felt.
It really is what Todd was talking about. Something I didn't say as Todd was sharing is, you know, it's an interesting way to look at going farther and faring worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like they're... Can't think of that. Cause and effect.
Yeah.
So there's the commitment, and then inevitably there's going to be the reaction.
Right.
And the response that says that shouldn't be happening is part of the reaction.
Yeah.
It's not a part of the commitment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so, you know, it's just, I think somebody just is recognizing that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. And you know, and the breaks are not... You know, they're not my usual way I experience the breaks. They're not content. You know, I'm not I'm not consciously resisting things. I'm not saying no. I don't have a lot of my habitual actual behaviors going on. But it's like the internal resistance is worse.
Well, what I would project, tell me if you think this is it or not, that it's taking some time for your energy system to adapt.
Yeah.
To the new way the energy is moving through.
I think so.
You could almost, I have no idea really, but I could easily imagine that there would be like a mechanism in there that would kind of, that would protect the energy system a little bit when we have kind of sudden changes like that, that kind of holds, that makes the process a gradual one into the new way that the energy goes instead of it just suddenly moving, because that would be, that would be kind of hard on the system, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that.
Well, it makes some sense. I mean, the times that I'm most, you know, feel kind of okay and like I can do this are the times when I just sort of commit to patience and like, well, whatever this is, however long it takes, you know, it's not comfortable, but...
Is there a kind of a grounding in that?
Yeah, I think so. It's just kind of a, well, it's an acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, well, this is what it feels like right now.
What happens when you're engaged with some sort of really kind of an all-encompassing work project kind of thing, especially if it's physical?
Yeah, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Or like hiking. You know, yesterday
hiking,
I was out hiking. You know, I even saw the day I saw that because I often take long walks down our road in the morning, and I was just actually recording about it while I was walking today because I said, you know, I woke up this morning and I was in that. It's almost physical. It's like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I feel like I want to shake, and it feels anxious, and it's you know, I can hardly stand it. And then I get out there and I walk for about 20 minutes, and it's like I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I know how it works for me. Is it's like the, you know, gears. Like there's gears spinning.
Mm-hmm.
There's all this energy, but the thing that the energy is there for has not been engaged with yet.
Mm-hmm.
So like a gear. It's got a lot of power behind it that doesn't have the other gear, the next gear it engages into. It just spins. It's like, but then you engage it with the gear that's actually creating the work, you know, like moving the car or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's, oh, okay. You know, now it's got something to put the energy into.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's really true. Like I can be pretty much, I can be fine during the whole, I would call, bulk of my day, from the time I get to working till the time I stop. But it's late afternoon and evening, and the early morning, and the middle of the night that is the problem.
Yeah, there's nothing, it's not engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, I'm glad you're saying that, because it's just helpful to me, because I've been having something similar going on where just a lot of energy moving. I noticed it yesterday, because we had a work day around here, all day long, feeling great, the energy's really, feels like engaged, like I was just talking about it. Really feels good, and then, you know, the evening comes and there's this kind of a collapse, it attempts to be a collapse of the energy. For me, it tries to be like in the depression and feeling bad. And I was just watching that and seeing if I could allow to continue to engage the energy, basically. And so I, you know, we ate supper and then, you know, doing the dishes, and then I'm not going to float around. I'm not going to spend any time just kind of like not focused on anything, because it's just going to rush in. And then it kind of gets a life of its own, and I can't stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I did that, and then I did some projects, and right up until bedtime, nothing vigorous, nothing that was going to tire me out, but just something so that You know, those gears just stay meshed right up until the time when the appropriate thing is sleep. And then it's not a problem. And get up, okay, whoop, time to go. You know, and then,
even that, there's a couple of nights when I've woke, been awake in the middle of the night for a long period of time, and I haven't done it yet, but what my impulse is really just to get up and jump around. And it's like just, really, it feels like that's what I want to do. I want to get up and, you know, do some jumping jacks or something.
That's fun. That would have a double effect, because it would help with the injury. It'd also be an automatic disidentification. Yeah, that's neat. Alex.
The dogs would like it. If you got a dog and you started doing something, they'd be totally into it.
No problem.
That's something that I really admired. It's not what I was looking at earlier, but it was like something about having an animal that is ready to get up and move at any point. It's just an inspiration to me, like just looking at. Do you know what I mean? Like,
has
no problem getting that gear in line and ready to go.
Well, you know, what I was speculating as you're saying that is, you know, the problem we have is our energy is being manipulated. It's being manipulated by the mind all the time.
That's right.
And so it's not, it's like in a, I don't know if you know in a car, there's a, I worked on a car yesterday. Like your carburetor has a high idle and low idle. And the high idle's there while it's warming up, and then it's supposed to drop in the low idle. And the low idle is just barely what it needs to do. But then it's ready.
It's ready.
So as soon as you hit the gas, it's ready. Mm-hmm. So for us, I think our systems are just messed up all the time. We're in high idle all the time. Or it's bottoming out, or it's missing, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I think the dogs aren't like that.
Oh, no.
They're laying on the porch. Yeah. They're just completely relaxed. Uh-huh. You know, just low idle. Somebody said it whistles and it fling. Just immediately on their
feet. Yeah, right into action. Yeah, totally. I just totally admire that. Because I think part of what gets thrown in between the gears and the idle and the full throttle is the story. Because that's what is there for me as I wake up. I open my eyes and it's amazing how it just bypasses how I feel toward looking at my watch, seeing what that translates into as far as the meaning in the story. Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, 2 a.m., it's like, well, we're not going anywhere.
It's not possible to have
energy. It's three more, whatever, or two more, whatever, and they just go back. But for them, it's like, I don't project that at all. Mm-hmm. They're just ready to go.
Always ready.
Yeah. And that's what I've seen about, like, what I've, in the discussion so far, it seems like participation and choosing which way that energy goes, it's like, it feels like it's all energy to me. And it's like, somehow, the story, you know, keep up with their image, is that it comes in there and it kind of makes these illusionary boundaries between like what I can use the energy for and what I can't. Mm-hmm. You know, like what I was looking at this morning as I was here in the first share was that for the longest time I've been here, it feels like I've been putting energy into what it is that I do, but I felt like somehow I was really separate from what it is that I was involved with. I really, like, it's amazing for being here for so long and not knowing how certain things run and not feeling really involved in what we're doing. And
well, that's a good example.
Feeling off on my own. And it's like amazing how just very recently it feels like, gosh, I feel like I am seeing how all of it is fitting together and how everything relates to another, and actually participating in things where I would see something that needed to happen and I would just go, well, I guess something's going to happen with that at some point, or I'll let somebody else know about that. Mm-hmm. Or, do you know, it's like always like somehow it doesn't involve me, which is how it always translated.
That's the separation.
That's the separation. And I never realized how huge that it really doesn't involve me.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to look at it in terms of just kind of like what's happening here at the monastery, because, you know, we'll often talk about the monastery is a small version of life with a capital L.
That's right.
It's just, it's easier to practice within the structure here. It's easier to kind of practice stuff like being in alignment with kind of the monastery and the flow of the energy at the monastery than just life, because it's kind of, it's hard to, it's not very tangible sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting. So what I hear you saying is you've gone from that isolation where on a kind of a practical level, you're just not seeing what's happening. You're not seeing the flow. You're not seeing how things fit together. And as you move out of that isolation, you're moving into an alignment with, and you're what's kind of the an understanding of kind of movement of the energy, of movement of just of the just how things are happening is becoming apparent to you.
Yes. Yeah. It's a paradigm shift almost, like I'm living in the same place, the same things are going on. For all the world, no one really notices that I'm doing anything differently. Mm-hmm. But it's like the way that feels like that things are working now is that it's not like this isn't mine, this has nothing to mm-hmm. do with me, this is not my responsibility, this, you know, all these kinds of things that would go through the mm-hmm. just completely fake, have nothing to do with anything. And I'm like standing up and I'm like, all right, well, there's that thing, there's this thing, and it's like my energy is constantly engaged in something that is part of this place, part of mm-hmm. the bigger picture, part of, and it's like, wait a minute, I see that. That can get done. And then I just say something to somebody and all of a sudden it gets incorporated into something that we're doing. And it's like, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And I like, feel like I'm getting involved in more and more stuff.
Does it feel kind of like you're channeling? You're channeling?
Yeah, like I'm starting to like little roots are going out all over mm-hmm. the, all over mm-hmm. the place. And it feels like, you know, I may not feel 100% secure in this area over here, but that's just because it's a little teeny little bit in there. And it's just ready to get into mm-hmm. it more. And find out more about how it works, and ready to just get engaged. You know, as mm-hmm. to use your gear imagery, it's like the gears are all there. It's just that, you know, some of them are not being used as much over here. They're not mm-hmm. getting engaged as much, mm-hmm. And they're starting to like get engaged in it.
And the energy sounds like it's appropriate to what's there.
It feels like it. It feels like well, I'll find out. You mm-hmm. know, there's that I'll find out aspect to it too. Whereas before it'd be like, ooh, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna try. But
yeah. So conditioning, of course, is trying to draw lines all over the place.
Oh, that's exactly the point I was trying to make. Is that mm-hmm. they're just completely fake. Mm-hmm. They have nothing to do with anything. They prevent me from actually even looking to see what is possible to try it out. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've just been so inspired by what I've been hearing about what folks are doing. I don't know, the participation game is going on, and I have some. And I've had access to reading like some of the stuff that's been coming in. Someone they have in their cartoon drawn of them, and I've been working with you know the inspirational story behind, you know, what's going on for this person in practice. And
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, boy, it's just completely inspirational, people's practice, you know, because what people are sharing is that things come up and I know what they are. I know that it's conditioning. I know what I need to do. Sometimes I get bamboozled, but you know, it's like what you're saying earlier. It's mm-hmm. like the point is not to quit. Just mm-hmm. keep on going, mm-hmm. and that is what has been just absolutely moving for me. And mm-hmm. I'm going to be excited to see what comes out of it too.
Yeah. Well, what I hear you saying is practicing staying in that place that you admire in the dogs, yeah. where. It's possible to relax, so it's not a frenetic kind of a, because mm-hmm. that's a place we can go to too, where like just kind
it's
of
just
crazy.
No fun.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's like the energy is appropriate to what's there, and we're always ready to respond with more energy
yes.
as things arise that need more energy.
Exactly.
And there's just, don't wrong you, of course, there's stuff showing up all the time to respond to, and so we're just practicing having the energy being appropriate to that, and then of course, you know, how much fun that is.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know, there's another way that the energy can get engaged. You know, the other set of gears that can get locked in, and it's just like I realize I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I want to put my energy into life, like you said. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really enjoy this gear imagery and the car. Just in the car, I was looking at how. What it'll do for me, I could start like the night before. Sometimes I'm in high gear. You know, a lot of times I'm not like ready to go to sleep, and even if it's time, then I should. Mm-hmm. And so what I'll do, which actually is really, really helpful, is when I'm lying there, I'm just doing thank yous. over and over again, no matter what it is, anything. Because what I discovered is conditioning doesn't like that. It must be from my mind. And so as soon as I do something like that, it lets me go to sleep.
Yeah, well, that's what makes the energy unmanageable. Because it starts banging around up in here, and then it's artificially cranking things up. It's throwing in emotion and gets us, you know, scared about things or anxiety, and then the energy is like it's spinning up there, but it's not engaged with anything that actually supports the being.
Exactly, and that's what it was would be going on, and so and yet the physical, the body's all wrapped up. So then, so I do that, and
the banking disconnects you.
Yeah, and put it back into its. Mm-hmm. Proper gear. And
yeah, because low idle, time to sleep. Mm-hmm.
And then in the morning, which is interesting, because especially if I've been up too late, but I have this, it's probably, I think it's a habit because I've been working with it for quite some time and it's better, but I wake up feeling in either very low gear or neutral. Now, it's really early in the morning, I know that, so sometimes I say, well, it's just early in the morning, but so, getting but the first thing I do is start these thank yous again. And that kind of help, gets it to a certain thing. And then
I'm going to try that.
That's why I just liked it. Yeah, I can't believe how well just that works. Mm-hmm. But then I, so I get in the recorders. It's almost like, we've seen a couple of movies like this where everything's the same every morning. There's two we've seen, I think, like that one. But, so, put the same song, same reflect, R&L in, there's some morning stuff and morning song. So going out there, actually everything's the same. But what I've seen is, so that kind of brings things a little more into line. Then I do my morning practices. That puts, it's like the gears are starting to churn. So even if I wake up, with this, for no reason that I can, the depressed feeling, just kind of by the time I, have done my yoga and meditated and all that, it's like I'm in the right gear, and it's like high gear, and we're rolling along.
That sounds like what you're saying is overnight, in some way, conditioning finds a way maybe to drain your energy while you're sleeping, and then you wake up into that. But then as you get up and you start doing the practice things, it's like an image I've been thinking of for myself is like a gallon jug full of water. Uh-huh. It's got a bunch of holes in it. And so you're pouring water in, and when the water just keeps on coming out the holes.
Yes.
And I've been trying to, kind of plug the holes up. And so I kind of hear that in what you're saying. So in some way, that it's just getting siphoned off, with all the stuff that it's doing in the night. And then you wake up and you put the earbuds in. Okay, ooh, there's some holes that got plugged up. Maybe you're stretching, doing some yoga, and that kind of patches up another part of your energy system. And then by the time you get done with that, a lot of that stuff's been taken care of. And so your energy, instead of just pouring out through all those holes, is now available to you. It's running running the machine through the day.
Yes. And then I just saw this sitting because it actually just did it. It did it to me right before, just a little bit ago. So I've got this, the energy's all set, we're going, feeling, the well-being and the joy and all that. And then it's like, self-hate will shoot an arrow or a whatever you want to call it, into my tires.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a flat tire. Mm-hmm. Just like that. And I just feel the energy or opens one of the holes, and that energy just drain all the way out. Like, it's like, what happened? I'm sitting here all wanting to say something, and it's like, what happened?
It's all gone.
I said, nobody's going to hear what you have to say, something like that. And I don't believe it, but it's still like, I'm going to do it anyhow, because the energy didn't, it's gone.
Yeah. Do you know that stuff? It's called fix a flat.
I get my toolkit, and I fix the flat because I start pumping the air back in, with the breath, just blowing up my tires. It's great. Because that's exactly what it feels like, you know, to me. And then I start rolling along, okay, in my right gear, you know. But it doesn't say, it means if I stop, except there's a flat tire, you know, examine it, notice what's going on, get out the toolbox, fix a flat tire like that, start, you know, patch it up with, for me, it's like recording or listening or, you know, our two-chair thing or whatever it is, you know. And going to the breath, depending on how traumatic it is, you know, the breath works for, you know, you do it with breath or have to add on and on until, you know, it feels like there's some equilibrium again.
You know, the part that's challenging for me in what you're saying is to remember that high gear is not always what's appropriate. Because that there's an assumption in me anyway that's the way it's supposed to be. We're just always high gear and really moving. But I've just been seeing how the energy doesn't go like that. It's not like a line, it's a wave. And so it's, you know, sometimes what's appropriate is low gear, just kind of percolating along, just kind of sometimes high gear and being present to that and allowing what's appropriate on that level to be there too. That's really challenging.
I've had to practice with that for a lot because my conditioning says only when I'm, because my natural, I guess my, I don't want to say Indian type, no, is kind of low gear. But so I've always, I could say idealized that high gear is the best place to be. It keeps my energy kind of moving. And what I've seen is I can get into a lot of conditioned trouble, so to speak, in that place. And that, yes, there are, well-being seems to come in the gear I need to be in at the appropriate time.
Right.
And so sometimes the high gear is not, the well-being is not there. And I'm beginning to notice that, and notice that, you know, where is it, so to speak, gear, what does it fall into?
Yeah, and that's what all being is.
Yeah. So, thanks, I like our
Penny.
This is like
clicking
clack. let's see. Yeah, I was just hearing what everybody was saying, but I just have to, I find I have to remind myself of again and again and again. It's just that it's all just process. You know, I can get so into, you know, there's something I'm supposed to do, there's a way I'm supposed to be, there's a way I'm supposed to handle this, this is how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And to just always come back to whatever's going on is just the process to be noticing at that time. And all I need to do is the noticer. You know, and it is, there's a strong manager in me who wants to do something about it, figure it out, solve it, turn it into a system, figure out the meaning. And so the real discipline for me, I feel like I've been reminded of that by this discussion, is all I have to do is notice.
I like that word discipline right there. Because a lot of people, I think, wouldn't make that connection between, like, discipline and something that really isn't, it's not a, well, it is active, it's really active, but not in the way people normally think about that. It's, you know, because you're talking about a letting go, right? So you're letting go of the kind of the impulse to really get in there and have a relationship with it and just allow it to be. It's interesting and that's my experience very much too, that's a discipline. It's like we kind of have to discipline ourselves or discipline the mind to allow it to go where it goes. And so we can just, as you say, just notice what's happening. And recognize really that it's all a workshop. That's all that's really happening.
It's all a workshop, yeah. And you know, it's so you know, I so want to be an I who solves it, who is doing it, and such a sense of there's a way that it's supposed to be, and all of those rules and stuff that you were talking about, and just to fall back on. Whatever's going on is just what's going on. And all we have to do is notice that process.
You know, I just saw you're saying that earlier. We were talking about how conditioning wants to draw lines between everything and stuff. It erases all those lines. Because in a way, it makes it all the same. And like you say, it's all process in the sense that it's all just something to pay attention to.
Yeah.
It's not like this is more important than that, or this is something I have to do something about and that isn't, or I just, you know, like all those kind of those separations that are there.
And especially when it's feeling hard or it's feeling uncomfortable or I don't like this, or to just proceed, you know, just well, that's just the process that's happening mm-hmm. now, and just proceed through that. Mm-hmm.
It need have no effect on you, really.
Right. It doesn't if I can disidentify. Mm-hmm. When I'm identified, then it's all about me, and it's all awful, mm-hmm. Or it's all wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, but to be able to step back and just see that it's just what's unfolding now.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because in either way, it's going to have an effect on your energy system, right? Whatever's happening, like say something hard goes on, mm-hmm. There's going to be feelings that are there. Your energy's going to start moving in different ways because of that. Mm-hmm. You might be painful or uncomfortable, but I think you're talking about the difference between kind of like being in that energy system as an I, attempting to do something about it, and then separate from life and suffering, mm-hmm. or outside of that, where all that's happening is just happening. It just kind of going through, and your only relationship with it is just observing it.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I'm seeing is, the process is what is it. Mm-hmm. The process is it, and I don't make it happen. Uh-huh. and it's not about me. I'm part of it, mm-hmm. but it's not about me. And I'm having trouble articulating this, but just that there's this process that's going on all the time, uh-huh. and I'm just riding along, and I can be fighting it, or thinking I'm managing it, or I can just see it, and sort of feel the flow of it.
I wonder if you would say it in this way, that you also are process.
Oh yeah.
And so you are, how they say, at one with, mm-hmm. You are that which is happening, mm-hmm. as long as there's not the illusion happening that you are a something, mm-hmm. that's like you're a content, you're a somebody that's apart from that process.
And somebody who's affecting it somehow. Mm-hmm.
Supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm hearing that in this conversation. I'm finding it really helpful. Mm-hmm.
So,
no, the conversation has been great this morning. I've been looking a lot about what happens around sleep and when I wake up and that whole time, that period of a transition. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure where to go with this, but one thing I noticed this morning is sleeping is something like I've always been fairly good at. It's one of those things. I can do that.
Yeah. It's a skill. It really is.
I think there's been this orientation. Let's see how to say this. It's like living to sleep or living to live. Mm-hmm. There's this little program going on. Mm. Pretty soon I'll get to go to sleep. Mm-hmm.
As if that's what life's all about.
That's what life's all about. Mm-hmm. And I can see that it's set up in some way that that's the place that's going to bring relief.
Mm-hmm. Which it probably does on some level.
On some level.
Because you're just not there for a while.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's... But it's not. It's not living. It's mm-hmm. not.
It's also not the real kind of relief that we're looking for in practice.
Exactly, not mm-hmm. that real kind of relief. And it's also, it does, people are sharing tonight, just seems this invitation to, it's just it feels like a more vulnerability in some ways mm-hmm. to conditioning. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of like, we'll talk a lot of times about little kids, and there's consciousness, but not awareness. And so, little kids are just really vulnerable to anything that comes along because there's not the awareness, I don't think, it doesn't seem like there's not the awareness yet that can take care of them no matter what happens. There's not like the larger kind of an awareness that sees that context and everything. And if somebody grows up, then right, they have experiences that teach them how things work, and right, if they're hopefully more and more the awareness is there. So it's kind of like sleep too. It's like there's you're alive, but it's not, there's not that awareness there that can really kind of really take care of the being.
So, you know, just noticing that, just noticing this morning, like I woke up and it was just, okay, awake. And then, it's so easy to fall to that conversation of, well, just a cup. Just a little bit longer, you know, it's Sunday, it's, you know. And
time to suffer.
And just watch how, you know, for one second this person was awake and on her feet, and then the, and then it just slips into this. This, I don't know, this like nowhere land, you know, not really awake, not really asleep.
Well, and there's the choice, I think, to be engaged in the way we were talking about earlier with the ears, and or to just having them spin. Because it's still the energy's still moving, isn't it? It's just that it's trying to seduce you into this place where it's spinning, it's not engaged with light, and it's just basically getting used up and spent as you know, as the separation that gets created.
Yeah, that is it is the experience of just that spinning, spinning and that. Not being engaged, and the gears not being engaged in the direction that it's being like to direct her energy.
So I'm curious, what would you say is, I don't know the best way to ask the question, like how would you describe the choice that's being made there? Do you see it as a choice?
There is this choice point, absolutely. It's like the whole, it kind of goes back to the live to sleep or sleep to live sort of, you know, it's like life or unconsciousness in a way, you know, like in that time, I mean, I think I went into spin for about a half an hour, you know, and what, there was just, and there was this one point and I wasn't totally present for that, but there was this one point where somebody said, okay, yeah, all right, I'll go to spin, you know, rather than heading toward life.
Yeah, it has an addictive quality.
Yeah, it does. It really, really does, because it's so, at the moment, it just seems, it's that, it just seems so, it seems like the hardest thing in the world to stand on their feet, you know? It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I can watch myself. I can watch myself head to the bed, pick her, and you know, it's like she's going.
Here she goes.
She's doing it. She's laying down, she's getting under the covers. She's not even tired.
Probably in the old days it wasn't. I'm tired.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was actually no other option in the old days. There was just like go back to bed. There was not. Choose life. I could do. You know, I had no concept of being able to direct my attention or my actions.
Well, it is. It's a marvelous skill, it seems like, that we're talking about is how to allow the energy to move. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but I think so, because it's generally moving. But just how to be present and present to that choice.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking this morning of, you know, how the schedule is just so supportive, you know, in those choice points, and how it would be very useful to have just awareness of that schedule, or you know, just looking at how I would like to schedule that time. Mm-hmm.
And particularly, I think, the motivation that's behind the schedule.
Exactly.
Which is, if we're going to be happy, we need to stay engaged with life.
Yes.
We need to be participating. And that doesn't have to be, of course, with other people or with anything having to do with, you know, what happens up here.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be just with life as it is, you know, down there in your hermitage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in whatever opportunities are there to be engaged with life.
Mm-hmm.
So schedule really helps with that, but we also have to get the, you know, we have to get the motivation behind that too, don't we?
Yeah.
Say, this is the this is the choice I'm making.
Yeah. I've seen one of those big drop-down signs hanging right over the bed. I choose life!
And it seems too, like that's how we learn how to make that choice, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Is we watch how it happens over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And gradually, you know, we've had endless conversations in here about how changes of the kind I think that you're talking about don't come from an act of the will and a decision that's made. Well, it does. You could say it comes from a decision that's made, but not in decision the way people normally think about it. And like, I am going to do this,
mm-hmm.
but it's really like what Penny was talking about too. Mm-hmm. We're paying attention to it. We're watching it.
Mm-hmm.
It's unraveling, and then at some point we just find ourselves naturally moving into what takes
mm-hmm.
care of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really takes it out of the hands of ego then, you know, or mm-hmm. becoming another contest at which I'm not going to succeed.
Yeah, that you're going to, it's going to use to draw your energy.
Yeah,
again.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I was connecting up those last two conversations also, really seeing if I can connect the dots here, because I've watched myself over the years. One of the things in that last conversation that went through is this thing that happens where I'll be walking along and there'll be something like something's out of place or something that I can take care of, right? And I'll walk past and then I'll hear this little, wow, we're really going to walk past that. And there's sort of like, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds in there. Yeah, walking past it. Really?
Yeah, what's over now?
And every time it's like, all right.
Okay.
And I never override it when I hear it consciously.
Yeah.
And what I've really been watching, and I was seeing it in the commentary, I really appreciated that thing of like, because that's my experience too, of that the energy just goes in waves.
Mm-hmm.
And there can be this interesting, very slippery place. I've really been appreciating Nemo Fastu around the Enneagram mm-hmm. and seeing how I imagine this is true for all of us, that completely, that egocentric karma conditioning co-ops our enneotype
mm-hmm.
to pull us into this sticky place.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's this place of like, okay, the energy's not right, I've done something wrong, I can try harder.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a artificial choice point.
Artificial choice point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, what I'm really... it's such a tiptoe, kind of a gentle sort of a place to practice with, but because I don't know about other people, but boy, it's tricky to not go to the survival strategy to solve the problem. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But realizing, I don't know how to say this, but it's like there's a sense sometimes, I'm actually not at the first point here. I'm not here.
Yeah,
I'm not actually present, because if I were, I would see,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love that. Don't forget where you're going, but okay. I just love that. I want to underline the artificial choice point, because it's true. I was looking at that as you were talking. It seems like it's a choice, because there's two options.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's not who's going to make the choice.
And so that's what is there's no choice about.
Exactly.
Is that it's going to be a somebody who's doing that.
Exactly.
So choice A leads to the same place as choice B.
Yeah. And with enough practice, you realize it's like the when you're a little kid doing that maze,
mm-hmm.
like which one is going to go down to the.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the one thing too. Actually, it's funny. I would always go backwards to make sure that I could trace like the, I'm going to get the right one, right? They're not going to pull me. But it's sort of like that, like, wait a minute, if I look ahead, both those places are going to lead in the same, if there's only an eye here to make the choice,
mm-hmm.
there's this subtle place of surrender, mm-hmm. of like, okay, it's got me.
Yeah. You know what's cool about that is that, and so the artificial choice has options.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm going to say, don't you?
Yeah.
Should I say it or should you?
No, go for it.
So it's got lots of options that all lead to the same place.
Yeah.
The places that where there's an actual choice.
Yeah.
There's only one way to go.
That's right.
Yeah. I love that. That is really something.
And it's it takes me all the way back to what I was hearing in that first conversation somehow. That there's a lot that's really painful in my experience of going through all of this. There's a place where, you know, there's a flat tire or there's a whatever, and just going, all right, and not going to, I'm going to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take care of this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yes, in that, that in a funny sort of way, even though at the time it cannot, it doesn't necessarily feel like that, because there's not necessarily, when I just realize that and see that, there's not necessarily an immediate like, oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
This is fabulous. I love this now. There can be. You know, there can be that relief in it, which, again, is just so tricky. Mm-hmm. You know, ego loves that, I predict, because it's like that. Because then it can go to, well, now, aren't I supposed to feel really good now if I properly let go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just keeps backing up
into
the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. But to realize, I just see it everywhere. You know, and I... C.S. Lewis came up, and, you know, Gandhi, and, you know, Sherry Huber, and just kind of all the wisdom that's come through for us through so many years of, why do we think this is going to all be roses and fun and good and feel right, and why do we think that?
Because it doesn't. It's interesting, too, because there's two places from which that can come, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
One is the, like a minute ago, like on the energy system level. Okay, well, crap. You know, this is no fun. I hate this. You know, it's just... And so, you know, we can't expect to just kind of like turn a switch and make that different. I mean, that's crazy. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But there is, of course, a place of well-being that's separate from that, that includes it.
Yeah.
So like in, you know, the tire example, I don't know if this is really it, but, you know, if we learn to love changing tires, then you know what I mean?
Well, I'm not exactly seeing the analogy, but I think where I go with it is just exactly in that conversation about the energy waves is, you know, I think it's why surfing is so often an energy practice of like really getting to a place of, yes, it's going to do that. It's going to do that. I mean, I think for me, it's like, okay, I'm going to get to the place where, oh, okay, I'm okay with everything right now. Good. Let's stop right here. And that's an artificial. I'm okay with everything.
Because life doesn't do that.
Life does everything. And I think what I've been actually pointing at is there is a place of a deeper, much bigger sense, which feels like what I project. It feels like the Buddha's talking about in ending suffering, where it's all going to happen. There's going to be the pain. There's going to be things that are difficult. There's going to be... But never losing that perspective of course.
And even if that can bring joy.
And say that
even if that can bring joy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems impossible from the inside. Yeah, right? Exactly. How could something that's painful bring joy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But from that much larger place you're talking about, it does, because it's not me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a being that I can save.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, the joy comes from, because the underlying thing is, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have it wrong. That's perfectly fine. That doesn't mean I've done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's a much deeper, you know, like unconditionally safe sort of a place.
Mm-hmm. I mean, would you say that information comes from that larger place?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we just, it feels to me like we just practice finding that larger perspective, finding that, and I guess that's what I'm pointing at with the surrender place. It's like, wow, I remember there's a larger place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing it right now, but that's okay. And of course, I think what you were pointing at earlier is that the irony in that is, there's a larger place.
Yeah.
But again, the tricky razor's edge is, oh,
God.
And then, whoop, away
the larger person.
Exactly.
Yeah. No wonder we can just keep on doing this forever and ever and ever and never get bored. Yeah. And that's our time. Thank you very much.